Well, today, I want to give you a message, kind of a little bit technical, but not that technical, I hope. You probably know that the Jews keep this day, and they call it Shavuot, and they kept it on Friday. This last Friday was the day they kept it, and they choose Friday because they count in a different method than we count. And what I'm going to do today is to show you that their count is incorrect and ours is right. Well, I'm going to prove that to you. And I'm also going to show you that the Jews are correct in saying and believing that at Mount Sinai, the law was given on Shavuot or Pentecost. And that can't be true, but absolutely, but I'm going to show you that it's very, very, very likely true. There's something unique about the daily sequence of this year. Passover was on a Wednesday, and the first day of unleavened bread was on a Thursday. What is interesting about that is the exact sequence when Jesus was crucified. And I think all of you should know that. He was, Wednesday was the Passover, and Thursday was the high day. But there's another thing about that sequence. The Jews believe, and they strongly believe, that the very first Passover sequence was exactly the same. They insist that, we know that the Israelites left Egypt on the 15th, and they say the 15th was a Thursday, which means Passover was on the 14th, and Wednesday was 15th. In other words, then we have for sort of a trifecta, this cycle is the same. When Jesus was crucified, it was the same, and in ancient Egypt, it was the same. If the Jews are correct, and they have no way of proving that, but they insist that that is true. As I said, the Jews believe the law was given at Sinai on the day of Pentecost, or what they call Shavuot. And UCG doesn't really say, well, that's true, but they never argue against it. They, in their writings, they more or less say, very likely that's true. And what I would like to do today, one of the things I'd like to do today is to show you that almost certainly is true, and I'm going to show you how to do that. Turn to Exodus 19 and verse 1. Exodus 19, verse 1, if my research is correct, is mistranslated in almost every translation. Because I only found three translations that list it the way it should be listed. That's the NIV, the ESV, and the Jewish Tanakh. And there are a couple of more, but they're kind of obscure translations. So turn to Exodus 19, and I'm going to read it from the ESV. And you can follow along in the King James, and you'll see the difference. In the ESV, it says, on the third day, on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Now the Hebrew word there for new moon is Kodesh. And if you check the Strong's, and I checked three different sources, Strong's, Jacinus and Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and they all agreed that the dictionary word of Kodesh is new moon. It's not month. Strong said it means month by implication, and it does, and that's true. But when you're translating, you always see if the dictionary meaning fits. If it does, you want to use that meaning. So it says on the third new moon, they came to the wilderness on that day. What day is it talking about? The new moon day. In other words, the first day of the third month, they arrived. Now, there are two reasons why the Jews are correct in this translation. And I've already mentioned one. The dictionary meaning of Kodesh is new moon. It's not month. It can be month by implication. The translation is new moon. The second reason, I've already emphasized that too, it says on that day. Well, if it says in the third month on that day, that doesn't make any sense. But if it's saying on the third day, on the third new moon, that very day, that makes sense. And so the Jews are really correct in that. That is a proper translation. And I'm surprised that more translations don't follow that, because it makes perfect sense. Here's why it makes perfect sense. We know that the Israelites left on the 15th of the first month. And the first month traditionally always has 30 days. So that means you have 15 days of the first month, you have 29 days of the second month, and that adds up to 44 days. So that means on the new moon of the third month is about the 45th day. Can we say that precisely? No. The reason we can't is because they used observation. And observation is not as accurate as calculation, believe it or not. And so, you know, it depends on who saw the new moon, when they saw it, and so on. So we can say about the 44th day they arrived in the wilderness. Well, that means the new moon would be day 45. So that means there are 5 days until the 50th day, which is Pentecost. And let's read what happens after they arrive. Verse 2 says, "For they departed from Rephidim and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness." So Israel camped before God. And Israel camped before the mountain, and Moses went up to God. Okay, I want to pause there. How long did it take Moses to go up to God? I don't know. It doesn't say. But Moses spent some time going up to God. And the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore them on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure above all people." Verse 6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all these words. Somehow my notes don't make sense here. I turned over two pages. Okay. Verse 8, then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, and so on. Now skip to verse 10. Verse 10 says, then the Lord said to Moses. Here's the question. How did he say to Moses? Did Moses have to climb the mountain again? We are not told. We don't know. But God spoke to Moses again. So perhaps he did go up, had to climb the mountain again. And here's what he said. Consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For the third day, I will come down on all the sides of the people. So here's the problem. We know that they arrived at the wilderness about the 45th day. Could have been 44, could have been 46. We don't absolutely know because we're using observation. But, and then all of these things that I talked about happened. How many days did that take? We don't know. But the Jews say it took enough days so that the law was delivered on Pentecost or Shavuot. So there's strong indication, very strong indication, that the law was given on Pentecost. And that makes sense because God always does things in a logical manner. So the next thing I want to cover is our count correct? We count from the weekly Sabbath during Passover, and the Jews count from the high day Sabbath. And like I said, the Jews, this day, it was kept on Friday of this week. We're keeping it today. And so I want to show you that that is, this day is the correct one. So turn to John 20, verse 17. This is the incident after Christ was resurrected late Saturday. We know he was resurrected late Saturday because he went into the grave before sundown on Thursday. And so he was 3 days and three nights, and so when his time is up, it would be Saturday afternoon before sundown. In John 20, verse 17, this is on a Sunday morning. And it says, Jesus said to her, that is Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending. So the question is, why did he say, do not cling to me? Some translations say, do not touch me. Not much of a difference there. But the reason, almost certainly, is that he has been resurrected in a special form, and I can't describe that form, but he was the holy offering to the Father. But and he says, I have not yet ascended yet. And I don't have time to show you, but a holy offering cannot be touched by something that's unholy. And that's why he said, do not cling to me, do not hold me. Then later on, he the women are able to touch him. And that is in, let's see, that's in Matthew 28, verse 9, I believe it is. And it says there that they came and held him by his feet. And I'm sure that that must be an odd thing for us to say. Why did they hold him by his feet? Well, the main point is they were able to touch him. What does that mean? That means he has now ascended to the Father, so now you can touch him. The phrase held him by the feet is a cultural thing. That's a sign of great admiration, worship, respect, and all kinds of things that was happened in that culture. A person would bow down to an authority, and they would grab hold of his feet, and that signified, I am your servant, I am subservient to you, you are my guide, you are my master, or whatever. So that's why it says they held him by his feet. And further, probably Mary Magdalene, when she first met him, and he said, do not cling to me, he was in effect saying, don't hold me by my feet, you can't do that now, because it could not be touched. So anyway, today I've shown you a couple of things that very likely the law was given on Pentecost, as the Jews believe, and we don't argue with it. We believe it's true also. And also that Jesus is the wave sheaf offering, and he waved, well, I don't know how to say this. He presented himself to the Father. He waved himself to the Father on Sunday morning. What does that mean? That means the count to Pentecost always starts on Sunday, and it always ends on a Sunday. That's 50 days when you count inclusive counting. So that proves that we are at the right day. It's on a Sunday. 50 days from the weekly Sabbath that occurs during Passover.